Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. He's worthy of all praise, you know. And there's no other that's worthy of that praise but Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about this. Let's go ahead and take the offering. Holden, you pray over the offering. Holden, I keep asking you because the Lord's going to start using you, brother. I know right now you're in a situation where you're growing up and you're thinking, boy, I don't know what's going on right now. But I'm going to tell you what, God's going to start letting you know what's going on. And He's going to start using you. And don't try to run in the other direction. Because if you do, you're going to find out like Jonah. He'll spit you right up where He wants you. And it won't be no fun getting there. Don't run from Him. Go ahead and pray over the offering if you would, brother. Amen. Well, praise God. I was thinking about a testimony that I heard the other day. And we were talking about those wildfires and all that different stuff. And I can't even remember if it was a man or a woman that gave the testimony, but I just remember the testimony. And they said they was driving down the road, and they was down south, I think it was, and all these bugs kept hitting their windshield. And they kept hitting their windshield. And they said it got so bad that they couldn't see to drive. And they tried to push the windshield washer. Well, they were out of windshield washer. And it was kind of bad, you know. And they prayed. And they said, Lord, please let it rain enough that I can wash off my windshield so I can see where I'm going. And you know, a lot of times we think that we can't ask God for a little stuff. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, you can ask Him for anything. And she said, it started raining. I believe it was the woman was telling it. She said, it started raining. And it rained really hard for about 5 minutes. And then it quit. And she said, in the time that it rained really hard, it was just enough time to get them windshield wipers going and get that window totally cleaned off. And she said, I believe she said, there wasn't even hardly a cloud in the sky. Now, you know what? God can do some mighty things, folks. We need to start taking the limitations off of God and quit thinking, well, God could never do this or never do that for me. Well, I got news for you. He can do anything for you. And He's a mighty God. And, you know, these people were ministers that they were going somewhere. And, you know, they wouldn't have been able to drive. They would have had to just pull over and stop, you know. But you know what? God met them in a special way. And He will meet you in a special way. I don't care what your need is. I don't care where you're at. I don't care whatever situation you're in. If you'll pray and ask Him, Lord, show yourself mighty in this situation, I believe He will. Now, I'd like to thank you all for praying for my sister-in-law, Susie. They did the surgery on her, like Margaret was saying. And they had put a bone in her jaw about 5 years ago, and they'd taken it out of her back, you know. And she had went to the doctor, and it showed up that she had cancer again after 5 years. Well, they operated on her, and they took a bone out of her arm, down on her arm, about close to her wrist, and put it back in there. And the doctor told Margaret, because Margaret was over there with her, the doctor told her that he believed he got it all, and he believed she'd be fine, you know. And, you know, a lot of times when people start operating on your face, that ain't no fun thing, because, you know, naturally you worry that you're going to be disfigured or something. And Margaret showed me a picture of her, and she didn't look hardly no different than she did before. So the doctor really had, you know, I think he cut her in the same spot and everything else. So you know what? God's good. And there'd been a lot of prayer going forth for her. We'd prayed for her quite a few weeks here, knowing that she was going to have that surgery. And I want you to continue to pray for that Judy that we've told you about. You know, they've been trying to, please don't misunderstand when I say this, but they've been trying to throw her into hospice for years. And she just would not go. And she said, I wasn't ready to go, and I'm not going to hospice. And she just kept bouncing back and bouncing back and bouncing back. And, you know, she had had a death experience at one time. And I was going to get her to come here sometime and share her testimony on that, because she had been clinically dead at one time and she came back years ago. And, you know, I believe she loves the Lord. And she was kind of at McDonald's. She worked at McDonald's, and she was kind of the person that would do anything that they needed done. You know, she'd clean up and she'd do all this and that. But what she really was just a greeter who went around and talked to everybody, and everybody liked her, and she just was just a sweet lady, and you couldn't help but like her. And you know, we've prayed for different ones in her family. One of her sons had cancer, and he was in a real bad position, and God raised him back up, and different ones, you know. But you know, we got to take the limitations off of God. There's no limitations in God. And I tell you what, you know, I believe we're coming into a day as we grow up in Christ more, to where He's going to start fulfilling that word, these works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these. Well, you say, well, how could you do any greater works than Jesus? Well, I'm going to tell you, when we grow up, there ain't going to be one man out there doing it. There's going to be a multi-membered body out there doing it. And you know, I was saying back there in Sunday school, you know, a lot of people were looking for, they're looking for a mighty move of God by some individual a lot of times. And let me tell you what, I'm not sure that there's going to be no mighty move of God by a single individual. God's about ready to raise up an army. And that army is the body of Christ, and that's you. You're the body of Christ. You know, I told the people back there in Sunday school, you know, that scripture in Ephesians, there's one body, there's one faith, there's one spirit. You know, God's all about one. He ain't about two. Two is division, unless two come together. But I'm going to tell you what, He's going to bring us together with Him in such unity that when you speak, it won't be you speaking. It'll be the Spirit of Christ speaking in you. And I tell you what, I believe we're coming to that day. And I, the earth is crying out. I mean, my God, look at the things that are happening. You know, the fires that are out of control and the hurricanes. I've been alive a pretty long time. I'm not real young, but I don't say I'm real old either, because I might be around here for a long time. And then again, if the Lord wants to take me sometime, that's okay too. But, you know, I've seen a lot of things in my time. And, you know, I don't think I've ever seen so many hurricanes and so many things go on as what's going on right now. And, you know, I believe that there's a little bit of an urgency for the body of Christ to begin to grow up and take the position that God has for them, you know. And the position that He has for you is Romans, the 8th chapter. You know, creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And you know, that's not a singular word. That's a plural word, sons of God. That's not just one, that's many. You know, and Jesus said, He said, Father, the glory you've given to me, I've given it to them. But a lot of times we don't walk in that glory because we don't believe we have it. And if we don't believe we have it, we won't function in it. We need to start believing what His Word declares about us. You know, the title to my sermon today is Don't Look Back. And you know, we have a tendency sometimes to want to look back on what happened yesterday, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and let that rule our lives. And we need to forget about what happened in the past and begin to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And you know, I'll explain it to you like this. If I get in my car and I drive out onto the expressway and I start turning around looking behind me, and I keep looking behind me because I think there might be something going on back there, I'm going to be in some big trouble. I'm going to cause some major wrecks, probably cost some people their lives and everything else. And that's one reason why in cars they have what's called rear view mirrors. You glance at it and then you look straight forward. And I'm going to tell you, all of the things that's happened to you in the past, they were given to you for an example to help you move on in the future. But if you're still looking at them as negative things and looking at them as, oh, I don't know why this happened to me. Oh, it's me. Woe is me. You know, you'll never get beyond them. You'll never get beyond them because you're looking in the rearview mirror. You know, in Luke it says, and it came to pass that as they went in their way, that a certain man said unto the Lord, I will follow you wheresoever you go. Did you ever tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to follow you? When you gave your life to the Lord, did you tell Him that? I think we all did at one time. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. And you know, I don't think Jesus was talking about, invite me to your house so I can sleep in your bed. He was saying, I don't have anywhere to lay my head. Now, you know, in Philippians 2, 1 through 8, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having this same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, and this goes along with what you were saying back there, sis, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but let each, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. You know, in 1 Corinthians 2:16 it says, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? It says, but we have the mind of Christ. That's where he wants to lay his head, right inside of you. He wants your thoughts to become his thoughts. He wants your actions to become his actions. He wants your work to become his work. And I'm going to tell you, if, like I said to you last week when I talked to you,
about the work of God, what must we do to the work of God? They asked him that one time. And he said, the work of God is that you believe. And believe on him who was sent, which was him. Or believe into him that was sent. And I'm going to tell you, you have to start saying, Lord, I thank you that you are resting your head inside of me. And I thank you that when I start thinking thoughts that are contrary to your thoughts, that you're going to start letting me know that. And I'm going to tell you, he'll let you know. Because when we start thinking his thoughts and then start doing his work, then what we will end up having done is we will have brought the fulfillment of total reconciliation to mankind. Because he's given you the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. Now, if he's not imputing their trespasses, then you quit inputting their trespasses. You quit saying bad things about them. You quit pointing a finger at them. You start saying, Lord, I'm going to start claiming that you see people whole. You see people saved. You see people serving the Lord. Now you say, Oscar, what if they're still being really bad? Say it anyway. Say it anyway. Say it anyway. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, I love that old sister that came here that one time, and she talked about her daughter, and she said, you know, she was raised in a Christian family, the daughter was, but she got out and got on drugs. And the mom said she would be out ministering, and the daughter'd show up a lot of times wherever she was. She said, I'd take her in. I'd feed her, I'd hug her, I'd love on her. And she said, every time I'd pray, she said, I'd pray, Lord, I see my daughter saved, serving you, ministering your word. Because, she'd been raised in a Christian family. So, you know, that girl had heard the word of the Lord from the time she was a little bitty thing all the way up. And I'm going to tell you, if you was raised in a Christian family, if you didn't hear it, you saw it. Yes, amen. One of the two. And you know what? She said she would say that and say that and say that and pray that and pray that and pray that. And she said all of a sudden she heard that her daughter got caught with a bunch of drugs. And she got sent to prison. And you know, if you looked at it in the natural, you'd say, oh my God, God. You'd start saying, why is she in prison? You know, why is this happening? She didn't do that. She kept on trusting in the Lord. Guess what? The daughter found the Lord in prison. She started ministering to the other prisoners. And our ways are not his ways. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, if we keep sticking our hand in trying to shore something up or change it or make something else happen without God telling us to do that, We'll be destined to keep that person in that situation maybe longer than they need to be there. Because sometimes you got to take your hands off. And you got to say, Lord, I present them to you. I give them to you. Now, I know that's hard, and that's really hard for moms. You know, I know it is. But I'm going to tell you what. If you don't do that, what will happen is you'll keep them in that bad situation for a long time, way longer than what they need to be. You know, we don't realize sometimes that everything that we go through in life, God will use that. You know, he tells us in Joel, he says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. for the day of the Lord cometh and is at hand. And you know when the day of the Lord is? Right now. Today, if you'll hear His voice. The day of the Lord for you is every day. His mercies are new and fresh every day. And he says, He tells about the army of the Lord coming forth. He said it'll be a day of gloominess and darkness. But He also says that before them, the desert will blossom with like the rose. And He says behind them will be a great desolation. Well, that's because it's behind them. And anything that's went on in your life, it's behind you. You got to move forward into whatever God's doing today with you. And He talks about them running like mighty men and running with the horsemen. And you know, and climbing the walls. And a lot of times, if you haven't experienced anything or had any bad things happen in your life, you can't really hardly minister to people that are in that situation. You know, what you tend to do, if you've never, ever, and don't get me wrong, I'm not telling you to go out and get blasted, but if you've never been drunk, then you don't know what it is to be drunk. If you've never been addicted to alcohol, you ain't got the foggiest idea what it means to be addicted to alcohol. If you've never had a drug problem, you don't know what it means to be a drug addict. And you wonder sometimes, well, how come Christians sometimes will get into these situations to where they can even get addicted to drugs? Well, I tell you what, a lot of times the Lord allows them to get there so that when He delivers them, that they can go and deliver somebody else. You know, when we used to go down to City Gospel Mission, Clyde was talking about that before, the director of the City Gospel Mission was an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic. And you know what? Because he had been an alcoholic, when alcoholics came in there, he knew exactly where they were. And I can tell you, we were down there one night, and this lady come up for prayer. And she, you know, she came up for prayer. And during the course of conversation and talking to her, they come to find out that she had been a big lawyer. And she had gotten so addicted to alcohol that she'd lost her family, she lost her job, she was out on the streets, you know. And I'm going to tell you what, sometimes you can get in some bad, bad situations. And you know what? We prayed for that woman that she got delivered. Now, I don't know if we'll ever see that woman again or not. But I tell you what, we was down there another night, and this person was sitting in the back row, and they looked out of place because they were really dressed nicely and not what you normally see in a place like the City Gospel Mission, you know, because City Gospel Mission, people off the street, some of them come in there, they're derelicts. I mean, I'll just put it to you like that. This person looked really cleaned up, looking nice, real nice clothes, everything. Came up after the service was over and said, I don't know if you remember us or me or not, you know. And I said, well, no, I can't say that we do. You know, because you see so many people down there, and this person didn't look like no derelict. They looked really nice. Said, I just want to tell you, I was down here a couple years ago, and I came forward, and you guys prayed for us, or prayed for me. You know, we prayed for other people too. And she said, the person said, you know, said, I just want to tell you, I'm back with my family. I'm back working. Said, my life has been turned around. And you know what? That should be the testimony all the time. All the time. When you see somebody that's in need, don't look down on them. Lift them up. You know, lift them up. That's what God's called you to do. I tell you what, if we have a tendency to always keep looking back and always keep looking at the bad things in the past and all the things that ever happened to us in the past, and we've all got a litany of them, at least in, everybody I know has some, you know, then we have a tendency to not move forward because we keep looking back. And I love that song we used to sing, "Don't look back, children of Israel, don't look back, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And it went ahead and said, "Walk what you talk, children of Israel, walk what you talk." And there was a lot of different words to that song, but I'm going to tell you what, the Lord has called all of you to minister a word of life everywhere you go, to be an expression of Him. And you don't necessarily have to grab everybody and try to convert them to Jesus, but even when you walk by somebody in the store and all of a sudden God tugs at your heartstrings or something, just pause for a minute as you're walking by and say, "Lord, please bless that person. I feel their need. Just bless them, Lord." And I'm going to tell you what, just do the little stuff. And you know, I've preached a lot of sermons on the little things. And I tell you what, I've told you all about the vision that the Lord gave me that one time about the little foxes that spoil the vine. And if you don't do the little stuff, things out there is never going to change. But you are an expression of Him everywhere you go. And I just want you to know that. And, you know, in Luke 9:59 it says, "And He said to another, 'Follow Me,'" this is Jesus, and He said, "Lord, suffer me to first go and bury my father." And Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Now, that sounds harsh, but I got news for you. If they don't know Jesus Christ out there, they're living in the realm of dead. They're dead. They're dead to Him who is altogether life. They don't know Him. And He's called you to be one that tells them who He is and what He's done. You know, most of the time on the radio station, I don't say it every time anymore because I've said it and said it and said it, but most of the time I will say when we're doing the radio station, I will tell them, "God's not mad at you." A lot of people think God's mad at them. They've done some bad stuff. God's mad at them. He's not mad at you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He sent Jesus to die for your sins. Jesus took your place on Calvary. And I'm going to tell you what, you can't never get away from the cross, because Scripture says it's the power of God. You get away from the cross and there's not going to be no power in it. And I tell you what, we need to begin to move and tell people what God's done. He's not mad at them. They've been forgiven. All they have to do is acknowledge that forgiveness, and their whole life can turn completely around. And another said, "Lord, I will follow Thee, but let me first go and bid farewell, which are at my home in my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And I'm going to tell you what, that sounds harsh, but I'm going to tell you this. Quit making excuses. When the Lord wants you to do something, quit making excuses. We got tons of excuses. We can think of some reason why, if you feel like you're supposed to go to church Sunday or something, you can think of a million reasons why not to go. And you can all of a sudden say, "I don't feel too good today." But let one of your buddies call you up and say, "Hey, let's go shopping." All of a sudden, you're feeling better. You're ready to jump in that car and go. Or let's go out to dinner. You're ready to go. And I'm not saying coming to church is the answer. But you know, the thing about coming to church is this. You come and hear the word, and you hear people preach. And it's not to make the preacher feel good. And it's not to make sure your money's in the offering or nothing like that. It's to build you up. so that you can go out and do the work of the ministry. That's exactly what it says. Not so Oscar can go out and do the work of the ministry, so you can go out and do the work of the ministry. And what is that work of the ministry? Whatever God tells you to do for that day. That's the work of your ministry. And you're all ministers. You're a royal nation. You're a holy nation. You've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, I'm going to tell you, I should have heard a bunch of amens when I said that, but I didn't hear any. But I'm going to tell you what. Don't think that you have to depend on the preacher or the teacher or anybody else. God puts you in situations and circumstances where you're the only one that can do what He wants you to do for that particular day. And I'll tell you what, if you'll be obedient and do what He tells you, and even if it's just encouraging somebody or helping somebody in some way or whatever it is, you'll find out that it'll be exactly what was needed in that person's life. And sometimes it's just the little bitty things. It's not the great big things. Well, that's all I got to share with you today. And I was going to get Margaret to come up and share her joke, but she keeps going outside. She showed me that joke Lil sent her this morning. Was that Joe? It was you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember it? St. Peter.
Yeah. And I can remember the gist of it about, ice.
Yes.
Oh, I see you were
He asked him what he did for a living, and he said,
Pharmaceuticals,
yeah.
He goes, well, then it's going to cost all this thing. The price just went up.
Price to get into heaven was like 400% more. The price is raised. And you know what? Those things are funny, but it's not really funny in a way, because that's the kind of nature of man, you know, to just get in your pocket and just rip you off. And you know what? Someday they're going to have to account for that. But I tell you what, we need to be that ministry that people needs for that day. And if we'll do that, God will bless us and He'll bless the people around us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your words, for their truly spirit and life. And I know this was a simple little message today, and it wasn't real profound or anything. But Father, I know that the simplicity in Christ is what we need to hear sometimes. We need to know that we've been called to minister to the world. The world out there is dying because they don't know Jesus. And a lot of times we could have been the one that told them about He that's altogether life. And I just thank You for what You're going to do. I ask You to bless Your people as they go forth today. And I ask You to just pour Yourself through them, Father, as they go out. Help them to be obedient to the things that You tell them to do. And I believe that if we'll start being obedient in the little things, and when Jesus says, come and follow Me, quit making excuses. Because the excuses don't hold up. Do what the Lord's telling you to do. And Father, in Jesus' name, I give You all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Amen, amen, and amen. If anybody likes needs prayer, we will pray for you. And God bless you.